Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and it's good to be back. Good to be back and good to be back in the Word again. And I think the study tonight is October the 23rd, I believe.
It is.
22nd. Okay. But nevertheless, one day's pretty close to the next day, so when you talk about a day, but when you go back and look sometime, and sometimes it'll say end the day, and when you look about end the day, that might be a little different story. And I've come to understand that the little words, the ends and all this kind of stuff is a little different from the I ends, and realize this, but I want to go back to John 4, and we're still dealing with this lady and with a woman of Samaria that when Jesus went to Jacob's well, and the men had gone into town, and evidently, from what I can understand about this land here that Jacob gives Joseph, and I've never seen early on where Jacob had given land to Jacob, but I guess he did, so I can't argue about that. But we're still talking here about, this is a study now that I've got going on about salvation. And I've come to find out in the New Testament that when you talk about salvation, then you got to talk about, and I'm going to use my variance on this, is not Jesus Christ, but Christ Jesus. Because when Christ spent the 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and he come back and he stayed with these people 40 days, and when he got ready to leave back on the Mount of Olives, like he came there and he was going back into heaven, he told them to wait till their feast day came. I believe it was Pentecost. Because that would have made 7 days, and that would have made 50 days from the day that he was tried and crucified. That would have made 50 days there. And he said, yes, when he went to go back, he said, I'm going back, but you stay here for Pentecost, which would have been 7 more days. And it would have been the time of Pentecost. And there, and so with that understanding, the he said the Comforter will come. So when God the Father gave God the Son, his time for the rest of the days until they would be a new beginning, he had already been crucified. He had gave his blood and his breath. And when he went back up into heaven, they saw the men in white. And they said, why are you gazing back into the heavens? As you see him come, he will return the same way. And so, they talked about that, and everywhere that Jesus went, not everywhere that Jesus went, but he said, he told Zacchaeus that he wanted to go and spend the night with him because he told him when he got him down out of the sycamore tree, he said, salvation is coming to your house. Everywhere he went, when he talked about salvation, he was talking about something that he had that the Comforter was dealing through him or to him as not being anything of itself, but it was, he wasn't making him a reputation, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, but that it was there for the intersection between the risen Savior and what needed to be done for a resurrection for those who believed this Christ and what he was doing for them at that time, because all these things was pointing to a time when there would be a new start sometime, somewhere. And what got me really thinking about this was things that the risen Savior had said to this woman about that she should have known before they turned her back on God, that she should have known when God says, I will give you living water. And we talked about that in our last study. Okay, I'm going to start back at John 4:15. And so now she knows a little bit about the Lord Jesus. And she knows and understands that, well, he's got something going on that we've never seen. I want to go back to verse 14 and start. We'll start with our study there. But we had made it, I think, up through verse 19 in our last study. But sometimes, you know, when you go back and you thinking about what you said and things about what you got involved in, and you start reading again, then you get involved in a little more stuff that you might ought to have said something about before. And this is the way the New Testament has started out to be. See, it was not until Luke 2 that we had someone named Jesus. Before, God's Son could have been anything he wanted to be. He could have been Jehovah. He could have been Melchizedek. When you go back and you look at things where people bring these things up, the scribes bring these things up, then God was using his Son for whatever needed, for whatever he needed to happen. And so, when he was here on the earth, for his 30 years, and then 3 years with his time of preaching here, because he had to be 30 years old without getting his mom and dad in the trouble. And so And that's when they got him down before the Bema seat, and he went before Pilate. Pilate sat on the Bema seat and asked him, said, "Are you the Son of God?" He said, "Thou sayest I am." He didn't use that on himself, that situation. But you see, he had not, at that point, when he was being tried, he hadn't given his life up yet. He was asking God, "Please let it pass for me." But that was not the, aeons ago, that was not the way they did it. Because the Son had told the Father, "Yes, I'll do that. When it comes that time, I'll do that." But he reluctantly did that then, but he did it nevertheless. So let's go back to let's just go back to 14 of John 4. And they're talking here. I made a mark there, and I made a mark in my notes. So, and they don't really correspond, but I made it for some reason. Let's just go back to 13. It said, "Jesus answered and said unto her, the woman, they never gave her name." And they had correspondence back and forth 7 times. And in 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." Talking about Jacob's well now. Because he got there, he didn't have nothing to draw no water with. She came up with her water pot. I can't hardly say that. And her water pot and her rope. And the notes in the Companion Bible said the well was 105 feet deep in 1869. When somebody went there and done it. This was done, and it was put in the notes of the Companion Bible. It said it had 15 foot of water in it then. Now we're talking about 2,000 years before this, or better. I thought, man, that's a good well. And that was hand dug. Okay. And it says, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." Verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." So, what does that make you think of? An artesian type well. Or if you go on to John 5, it talks about the water being troubled when the water came out of the chute into the pool of Siloam, where people would lay around the pool and wait on it. When the water started coming out, then the first one in is supposed to have been.
When the angel troubled the water.
He said, that's what they needed.
Yeah, that's what they thought.
But it was an artesian type. Well, we have one out here in Yellowstone that we call Old Faithful. Well, the people have been there so long, and they've kept up with these records so long that the guys are Old Faithful. When it goes off regularly to where they can tell you, if you go in out there into the park, you want to go see it, they can tell you the times it's going to go off. And that's the reason they call it Old Faithful, because it is faithful to the way it's done.
That
yeah. So it's predictable. And, but the pool over, and I don't want to get into that study right now, because I want to go back to it sometime, but it says, Let's go to 15. It says, the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Because it was a long ways from the town or the settlement of Samaria to this well. And the cows, the cattle that they had, it come out there, and it was on a flat mesa, but it kind of fell off at the back. And the well was dug right before the thing falls off. So they didn't have to put any fencing up to keep their cattle in. Now think about that. They could draw the water out of the well and pour it over into the whatever they had holding the water. It was up on top of the ground. And the cows could come and drink it, and it was so steep they didn't want to go off the back. They were afraid to go off the back. But here was Jesus sitting at the well. And here was the woman that come there with a way to draw it out. Well, she was after him. And God, well, if you got water, what are you talking about water? You ain't got nothing to draw it with. He said, well, water I'm talking about, you need to understand Scripture. He doesn't say it that way, but that's basically what it means, because it has been used in Scripture before. And we've talked a little bit about Scripture having been, or words having been said that makes up Scripture, and then if it's been quoted, that's two times. Or if it's been written down, that's two times. But then if it's been quoted, you can bet it was meant, God meant for it to be in Scripture. Because you got the three features there. You got the one that said it, the one that wrote it down, and the one that quoted it. So that should make, you know, if you go to court, if you're the only one that's seen something, then you may or may not be right. But if somebody else seen it and wrote it down, then you kind of got a case against it that time. But then if it's quoted years and years and years later, or even 1 year later, you might spend the rest of your life in jail because of that. So that's kind of the way our look at things through law has evolved down through the years and the time.
Yeah.
So the woman said, give me this water that I would thirst not, and neither come here to draw. So she was looking at it. Well, if it's like a well of water somewhere, that if it was close, I could just draw the water and use it, and I wouldn't have to walk all this distance from the city out here to the edge of this mesa to get it. And that makes great sense. Verse 16. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. So he told her, well, you go and call your husband. He wanted to know what she would say to that. Call thy husband and come hither. And this is another point when the woman answered. She answered Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Because he was known as Jesus at that time. Because he was still here on the earth. He hadn't given his life and his breath yet. The woman answered and said unto Jesus, I have no husband. Well,
at least she told the truth.
And And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Let me get my notebook over here one more. I have no husband. Well, Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Well, we talked about it before, that she had seen and got pretty close to Jesus, that Jesus would give her this gift. Because he is talking now about things that he can give that nobody else can give. If salvation is what the Holy Spirit gets out of a person that believes, and he takes it back to Christ, because Christ is not going back and forth from heaven to earth to get this, but the Holy Spirit can go without any interference, without being seen. And he can give that, whatever it is that Christ needs for resurrection, the Holy Spirit takes it back. If the Holy Spirit can make intervention between you and Christ, whether you a believer or not a believer, then that's what the Holy Spirit has. People call it, you know, I went to a holiness church for a good long while because it was close to the house. And they said, well, you can get saved one time and you can get sanctified another time. That means to be set apart. And then you can get the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit deals with you only in situation of getting people to understand and believe, or to correct your prayers to God. That way, when you make a prayer to God, the Holy Spirit can clean that up. And then the Holy Spirit will come back at death, because the Holy Spirit living in a live being now, he's not going to stay there when death comes, because that's part of the Godhead, and the Godhead is not going to live where sin still abides. So whatever he takes this, whatever he needs back to God and give it to God for that keeping, because he's sitting at the right hand of the Father on the throne area of God without any knowledge. It's like he's asleep, like a sleep or a trance or whatever. Or he doesn't have all the stuff that needs to be that being when he is raised in resurrection truth. And so, this is how that works. Let's read the rest of this verse of scripture. Thou hast well said, Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands, and he whom you now hast is not thy husband. And that's full stop. And that sayest thou truly? Because he said, wait a minute. I said this. See, I told you, you have spoke truly because of your first one. But he said, you've had five, and none of them has been your husband. Well, she is now in a state or a point to where she can understand what had been written over there, and it's on the back page of what I've just read. And we talked about the living waters as Jeremiah 2:9. And so this was a prophecy that Jeremiah had. He had been given this word by God. Jeremiah had, and it talked about the living waters way before Christ Jesus ever revealed it, that this was what he was to mankind, his living water. Well, if he's going to take something that makes us what we are today, and it pleases God that we have this salvation within us, then when he makes us or renews us in resurrection, we're probably not going to have to need any water, because we don't even have to really need any breath.
Yep. Different body.
But just the body. And so part of that body is not concerned about water, but whatever it needs, it will boil up within them, or like an artesian well, it will be rolling and can come forth, and you'll never have to worry about going to find water somewhere. Because the only thing you have in Revelation is you have the water coming out from under the throne of God, but that's for the trees that is going to be in the new garden, evidently. And now the leaves might be a different thing.
They were for the healing of the nations.
Yeah. But the water itself was not going to be, I don't think, for any one of those that are going to be resurrected forever, for eternal, for the eternal. Okay. So having got that far along, the woman says in verse 19, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So she has come to the idea and the understanding, because she had already asked him earlier in our study last time, that why are you talking to me? Because if you're a rabbi or a prophet, if you're someone from God, then you wouldn't be talking to a strange woman. Has to give me some water. And that's when he told her, well, if you knew the scripture, you know that I could give you living water. But she didn't ask for it. And now here's the problem, that she has now come to the point of, you know, say, I perceive. In verse 18, okay. Let me read you my notes. And he which thou hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. The woman is beginning to see with her senses that he is, yes, understandably or undeniably unique. If you look at the notes, it corresponds that with the notes that she now knows there's something about him that nobody else she's ever seen had or knows about. But she does know about Messiah. She has heard that when one does come, when the Messiah comes, he will know all things. Okay?
She at least knew that much.
Okay. Verse 20 says, our fathers worshipped in the mountain. Or in the mountain. Yeah. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Okay. In the notes it says, our father worshipped, and that's Prosukio, pages 137-1, in this mountain. And that is the mountain of Gerim. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jacob's well was at the foot. Of Gerim. Yeah. Deuteronomy 27:12. And that's for men out to worship. Or equal, and it equals to, it is necessary that men worship in Jerusalem. Okay, and I wanted to go back and look at Deuteronomy for just a minute there. Deuteronomy 27:12. Let me go back and get to that. If I still got it marked out. Yeah. Deuteronomy 27. I can't remember. Well. Well, I need to go back a little bit before that and pick it up. God was talking to them. I mean, they were being told there. He said, therefore it shall be in Deuteronomy 4, where you go over Jordan, that you shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt pilaster them with plaster, and there shall they build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stone, that thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build an altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses said, and Moses and the priest, the Levite, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, that is to keep silent. And hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan. Okay. And they talk about Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. So, some, whenever they come over Jordan, some of them were there to bless God, and some of them there were to curse God. And it said, and the Levites shall speak and say unto the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the works of their hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people answered and said, amen. So, they were some that were going to follow God, but even after they get out of the 40-year journey in the wilderness, there was going to still be some that were going to curse him. And there was going to be some that would call upon him in love, but they said, don't make no idols. Don't get involved with that. So this is what Jesus was working up to with the Samaritan people because of their idol worship and so on. And I think he felt like sending off his new recruits to these people was not a good idea until he was with them. And I prayed because some of them even come back and told him, said, well, we can't cast out devils like you can. And he said, that's not for you to do at this time. So we get a little more of the picture here. When he says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, Jesus said unto her, believe me, verse 21 of John 4, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So, there was a change out there somewhere. And it says, he said in verse 22, you worship you know not what. He said, we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. Salvation was given that the Jews might have hope. Didn't say anything about the Gentiles. Didn't say anything about the Italians or the Romans. But it says salvation is of the Jews, or salvation was made for God's people by His Son.
Yeah. Salvation of the Jews there, and actually out from the Jews. Yeah.
It said, but the hour cometh now when the true worship shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh those to worship Him. So, God doesn't give gifts to the people just because they're gifts. Now, what He has left us here with after he created, decided to create man, these things were in place that he might live for an age, but not forever. Because God knew what was going to happen when Satan is going to show up with Eve in the garden. Because he thought he was a living God. And the fire that burnt within Satan come through his hide, which was covered with the jewels of the earth. And it was a living, beautiful gem as any woman would have liked to have seen. And so Satan didn't go to Adam, which was going to God for his understanding. But I don't know how much information that Eve had. And so I think that Satan took Eve by storm, so to say, because she didn't know what even, I don't think she knew what Adam knew. Because it was given Adam to be the controller of the things on the earth. Okay. It says in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Not in sin, but in truth. Because everything that Satan had going on at that time that Adam was created was not truth. And he was there to make sure that everybody from that time on was born in sin. But guess what? There was out there a way to get clean from sin, to get salvation. And when you made a vow to God and he gave you this living water, then that was for a reason. And so that living water is in us that we don't really realize, maybe. The woman saith unto him, verse 25. Now here's what she knew. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. Oh, she did know something about God. She had heard this, and it had been told to her because
these things were woven into her heart. Very limited understanding of how to worship and who to worship and all these, all these different
things. Okay. I know somebody's going to come, which is called Christ, full stop. And when he has come, he'll tell us all things. Guess what? Verse 26. Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee, unto thee am he. Well, now she knows how he could say those things and tell her all the things that she ever did. Now, so far we've got in Scripture, so far we've got in the story, it was only the husbands that we know that he had told her, and then he talked about in the mountain would be where you need to go, or into Jerusalem. Well, the first mountain was when they come over Jordan from their 40-year journey in the wilderness next to Jericho. And so the understanding was that the Jews were to use Jerusalem for their place to go to worship, because this was where the temple was going to be built. And so now she knows, well, she remembered this. And Jesus said unto her, that speaketh unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples. Well, what a good place for them to show up. Because now she knows that he is the Christ. She knows that he is the Messiah. Well, the disciples come up, verse 27. And marvel. Oh, okay. Good word, marvel. Let's go back to 26. Jesus saith unto her, I am I am that speaketh unto thee. Am he, the Christ, the one of salvation. And this is the seventh and the last time marks the climax of him and her speaking to each other. And this is in the notes, it says this is the climax of their basic back and forth when the disciples come back with food. But listen to this. And after he said this unto her, and it says, the seventh and the last time of the speaking marks the climax of the dissertation here. And upon this event came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? None of them questioned Christ or Jesus. They didn't question. They knew that he wasn't supposed to be doing this, because it was said in the Talmud, what Moses had, the law that he had, there that they were to go by, that this wasn't supposed to happen. A man, that the rabbi was not supposed to talk with a woman without her husband or her parents there. This was a no-no. And because, you know, when a woman and a man had a man child, and on the eighth day, they had to take him to the priest for him to be circumcised. Well, the man was required to be there because the priest was going to talk to the man, not the mama. He's going to deal with the daddy, but not the mama for that. And so, you know, that was there for a sign. So, I guess you'd call that a manly thing, Lori. I don't know. That's the way that goes on. And, so they marveled and talked and, but he was talking with the woman, but they didn't question that. They didn't say, well, what seeketh thou, or why are you talking to her? The woman then left her water pot. That was her bucket. We'll call it a bucket. And went her way into the city and saith to the men of the city, because I reckon if she'd had four or five men she'd lived with, they wouldn't worry about talking with a woman like that anyway, you know. So she left her water pots and went her way into the city and saith unto men, come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did, full stop. After we think about it a minute, and after they thought about it a little bit, well, the question was, is this not the Christ? Seems like we didn't go to him, he came to us. And, These guys thought about all this and didn't want to say anything about it. But the woman, when she got the chance, she went back into town to tell her story. She had to talk to somebody. I would think that if you come up on a revelation of that and you had heard it somewhere, and the expectation was for the Jews that salvation is of the Jews, and that he fit all the criteria of that, she had to go and tell her friends in town. And said, come. Verse 29. Come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. I don't know how far it was from this well to the city. Then the men, while the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Wow. These guys said, well, we walked all the way somewhere and got you something to eat. Now you're not going to eat. Therefore saith the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now we know why he was been sent there, or that he just did not just happen to be in Samaria, but he was there for a reason that God wanted him to be. And he was there to finish the work. Well, what was the work? Well, that's your homework. He's going to tell you why he's there to finish the work. And as we used to talk about the Warren Radio saying the rest of the story, and this is going to be the rest of this particular story is now, because they heard what the woman said, I'll tell you this much, they heard what the woman said. But remember, they are Jews. And Jews not only want to hear what was said, but they wanted to see. Seeing you will not see.
Hearing you don't hear.
And hearing you won't hear. Isaiah 6. But they wouldn't believe her. They wanted to hear it and see it from the mouth of the Son of God. He went to the worst of the worst. He went to those that had cursed God even whenever they got across the river in Jordan, the river Jordan. Whenever they was going into the land that had been promised. If they had made it that far. And so, he's going to come to finish his work. And what he says there is really something that we need to look at a little bit. Because, again, figures of speech in Scripture is a wonderful thing in a way that without it, it gives you... And the scribes and the prophets and all used it a lot. And they'll say in Scripture, look at that, Acts 6, figure of speech. And it's very, in the whole thing of the figure of speech, the whole great part of it is about you're looking at something that tells you what it is, but it can mean something else. Or represent something else. So when you go there, you need to remember that and think about it. Some of this things it has been said is going to represent something at a later time, or it has represented something before in some other fashion. And that's the way a lot of God's work is done. Because we talk about mysteries. Well, this is part of a mystery. Because it's not meant for everybody, but it's meant for those who believe God. If you believe God, then, hey, I went to church a lot when I was little with my grandpa and grandma. And I'd have to come home and grandma would read it to me every day. And some on Sundays too. And I'd ask her, well, what does this mean? And she said, well, I think this is it, son, but I'm not sure. Because she had never read enough about the total picture of Scripture to get a live view.
Yeah.
Like the woman had here. She had heard something, but she didn't know how to explain what she had heard.
Without limited view.
I know when the Messiah comes, they're going to call him Christ, and he's going to be able to tell you all things. Well, Grandma couldn't understand the all things, even though she was a believer. But she could only believe what she had seen or heard or understood to get, that God would get. And she gave her a lot, gave me a lot of good stuff. But, you know, it's done in a mystery. It, sometimes you got to wait on the on the truth to come out. God's time for it to be done. And so there was a lot of things she told me that I didn't fully understand at the time. But when I did, started, got the first pretty good glimpse of it, I said to myself, when I heard Larry do two or three sermons, I said, where has this man been all of my life?
Yeah.
Glory to God, one came that I needed to know.
Amen.
For fact. Yeah, think on that. We have been given gifts upon gifts.
Amen.
And there's some of those gifts you can't understand without the living water.
Thank you, Pop.